Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for this weekend's UFC main event, another heavyweight main event. Jairzinho Rozenstruik taking on Gelson Almeida. An interesting one, this one. Of course, Rozenstruik, loads of striking experience. You know, he's got some good wins over some big names, the likes of Overeem and JDS. Gelson Almeida's one to watch, though. We have to keep an eye on this guy because he's relatively new to the heavyweight division. He was a light heavyweight for a long period of time. He moved up, he's had a catchweight fight, and I just think he brings problems to the heavyweight division based on the fact that he's tall enough and long enough and strong enough, but he's not carrying the excess weight, which really is the point of difference in this fight. When it comes to the weight class. Okay, before we go any further, a quick shout out to our friends and our sponsors at Athletic Greens, AG1. I love this stuff. I started using this to make sure that my daily nutrition was just covered, making sure that if I'm missing meals or I'm running around or I'm kind of buying stuff at the supermarket or whatever, that all my baselines are covered. I need to make sure I'm getting my probiotics. I need to make sure I'm sleeping well. I need to make sure my brain is clear and functioning. And the other thing that you'll get if you buy Athletic Greens using our code is D3 and K2. Anybody that lives in a dark climate, spends a lot of time indoors, you need D3 and K2 in your life. It's good for your immune system. If you listen to Dr. John Campbell, there's a whole plethora of different things that D3 and K2 are very good for, taken together. So if you use our code, you will get a year's free supply of this and 5 of the free travel packs, which, again, are an absolute lifesaver when you are packing. It just takes the stress out of my day, honestly. I get up in the morning, I get my 12 ounces, I mix my scoop in and shake it up, and then before the day's even started, I'm like, okay, I've got the nutrients I need, I know my brain's going to be functioning, my energy levels are going to be good, and I know I've got my probiotics in me, so whatever else I take in is going to be digested well as well. Vegan-friendly, keto-friendly, less than a gram of sugar in these things. They are really, really good. Veronica's addicted to it as well, as I'm sure you've heard on the podcast. She does love this stuff as well. So if you're going to order from us, you need to go to athleticgreens.com/outlawed, outlawed with the ED. You will get 5 free travel packs and you'll get a year's free supply of the D3 and K2, as well as all the other stuff, the bag, the scoop, the bottle, all the stuff that you need to get started. Get on this. It will take years off your life and save you worrying too much about your diet. Okay, talking of diets, back to heavyweights. And we have a big heavyweight and we have a small heavyweight. And I feel like, you know, at times when we've looked at the heavyweight division, the people that have stood out are the ones that are heavyweights physically but don't move like heavyweights. You know, you go back, somebody else that Rozenstruik's got a win over, Andre Arlovsky, probably the first, I mean, maybe not the first, but one of the best athletes as a heavyweight that we've ever seen. And the point of difference is that he was fighting guys that were as big as him, but they were slower. They weren't able to move as fast. They weren't as, as athletic and as quick. And this is what you've got with Gelson Almeida. Now, of course, Rozenstruik on the other side has got that extensive kickboxing background, but at times when he's lost in the octagon, it's been down to strikes at times. Like, you know, Ngannou just uncorked massive shots and stopped him. And I'm not saying that Gelson Almeida can't do damage to him as well. But of course, you watch Almeida's fights and you go, well, I know what he's going to do. He's going to back you up against the fence. He's going to kick and then he's going to shoot. And he's going to be in on your legs. And once he takes you down against the fence, then you're dealing with a heavyweight that's kind of processing you like the Dagestani style of wrestling when it hits the ground. He's very good at forcing people to turn and give their back. Really good with wrist control. Really good at just kind of spreading his weight over people so they feel that he's a heavyweight, but at the same time, he's able and ready to make moves as soon as they start to scramble. Like, the times when we've seen people frustrated is when they're trapped up against a fence in that corner and they've got Almeida on top of them and they've got to make that decision. Do I turn and scramble up against the fence and give my back, or do I try and keep my back against the fence and try and scramble up while he's constantly taking my legs away? You know, constantly we're seeing these things come back again in that pocket up against the fence. That close style of wrestling, it's almost a thing in itself, because if you think, you know, wrestling is on an open mat. There's no fence to control somebody up against. So it's like this style of grappling has been developed specifically for mixed martial arts. And of course, Khabib and all the, you know, the abdominal trained fighters are very, very good at this. There are other fighters now from different regions of the world that have started to adapt this. The next generation guys do this very well. You know, this is Paddy Pimblett's game. And if you look at the rest of the guys in that team, you know, Luke Riley, Adam Cullen, Nate Fletcher, they all do the same thing. It's that chase to the back, pressure. Which one do you want to do? Do you want to turn and face me so I can punch and elbow you? Or do you want to turn and give me your back so I can choke you out? And I would say it's slightly more difficult to do for some reasons in the smaller divisions because those guys move quicker and probably pound for pound they're able to generate more force in a short space. But with the heavyweights, like, I mean, we saw Daniel Cormier struggle doing this same kind of thing against Derek Lewis, who just stands up with people on him. And that is the challenge, of course, at heavyweight when you're trying to control somebody, is it requires a lot of energy to hold this person down until they get tired. Then it switches to making it a little bit easier because heavyweights do slow down when they're carrying other heavyweights. Now, I don't think there's any secret here that Rozenstruik's going to want to keep this one standing, but he can be quite a passive striker. And at times in his fights, even with the win over him, he was very passive in that fight. You know, the fight was slipping away from him, and Overeem was like, you know, what, 30 seconds away from a win before he got his face split in two? Rozenstruik can be backed up and he can be outworked. Like, quick tale of the tape for you. So we've got Rozenstruik coming in with a record of 13 wins and 4 losses. I think he's like 75-5 kickboxing. I don't have his Wikipedia pulled up, but it's somewhere around there. It's an extensive amount of fights. On the other side, Jelton Almeida, 18-2, so slightly more experience in mixed martial arts. You'll also notice on Almeida's record that he grapples a lot as well. He's got, you know, professional grappling matches against, you know, a variety of different good level opposition. It's quite clear that this is striker v grappler. With Biggie Boy, with Rozenstruik, you've got a fighter that is excellent counter-striking. Remember when he allowed Arlovski to walk onto that check hook? He's got really, really good, clean counter-punching. He works the lead leg very well as well, which would be useful against Almeida if you weren't concerned he was going to level change straight away on the back of it. And this is where I feel like Rozenstruik's game starts to get limited a little bit against Almeida. So just continuing on with the tail of the tape before I get too distracted, a 1-inch height advantage and a 1-inch reach advantage for Almeida. But the difference in weight is going to be significant, I think. I mean, like the last time Rozenstruik weighed in, let me just double check this, but I think it was like 261. Yeah, 261.5 against Daukus. He weighed 259 against Volkov, and against Curtis Blaydes, he came in at 257. So, I mean, he's going to be the bigger, heavier fighter in there, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to work out very well for him, especially if he is taken down. Now, if the fight stays standing, then, you know, you've got to start leaning towards Rozenstruik based on his experience and based on the fighters that he's already beaten. However, if he's gun-shy, if he's kind of hanging back against the fence and waiting for Almeida to level change, he might find himself being hit with shots that he wouldn't get hit with in a kickboxing match. Like, this is where the dynamic of wrestling sometimes makes a really good striker look quite mediocre because they have other things to think about that they don't have to deal with in a kickboxing match. Now, Rozenstruik's not got bad takedown defense, but the times when he has picked up losses are times when he has been taken down. We're just going back here. So, like, Curtis Blaydes, for example, took him down 3 times. Overeem, although he beat Overeem, took him down twice. Even going back to his UFC debut against Junior Albini, 2 takedowns out of 6 attempts in that one. He does get taken down, but he does stop the majority of takedown attempts. And he's good at staying safe on the floor. He's not generally getting submitted, although that could change very, very easily here, given the fact that Jelton Almeida, for me, is probably one of the best heavyweight finishers that is in the heavyweight division right now as far as the ground game. I feel like this guy maybe has been fighting against the scales for a period of time, right? So you look back through his record, and so he came into contenders at light heavyweight. He had his UFC debut at light heavyweight. And from what I can tell going back into his record, he's always been a light heavyweight. He's always been 6'3" as well, from what I can tell. So he's always had the potential to grow into a bigger frame. And I do feel like this is the right weight class for him now. Sometimes you're better to fight heavyweights. Like DC realized this, I think, pretty quickly. The light heavyweights have got the finishing capabilities, the power and the speed, as well as the technical abilities. And they can maintain it much better than a heavyweight can. If you fight a heavyweight in the right method, heavyweights will get slower faster than other weight classes. And I feel like if you gel to Almeida and you're looking at the two divisions, I'm kind of thinking, yeah, I'll take my chances at heavyweight right now. He can always come back down. But what I think we're going to see is him grow into this weight class. Like, so his fight against Anton Turkal was a catch weight of 220 pounds. He weighed in at 216.5. Like, he's not even at the limit of a 220-pound catch weight. But that might be because in his head he's thinking about potentially going back down to light heavyweight. What I would say is stick in this weight class and beat as many of these heavyweights as you can. I think you'll find a quicker route to the top at heavyweight, and I think the money at heavyweight, now John Jones is back, is far more interesting. What haven't I said? Okay, so picture Rosenstreich in the fight. Okay, so he doesn't get started very fast. He kind of hangs back a little bit. He kind of sits on his back heel, and his chin's up a little bit, and he's kind of watching people and seeing how they're moving and studying their patterns and stuff. But if he finds himself up against the fence doing that, he's going to be dealing with the long range straight strikes of Almeida, as well as the potential for a level change. So if I'm Rosenstreich, I'm thinking, well, I've got to keep moving side to side just so Almeida doesn't line me up against a fence and shoot straight into it with no concern that I'm moving. If he's stationary, he's going to be easier to take down. If he's moving, even if it's just marginally side to side, he's going to force Almeida to keep adjusting. He's not going to want to shoot into the fence and Biggie Boy escapes out the side. He's going to want to make sure that he's as still as possible when he level changes, which is usually why it gives you something to think about before your level changes. Think about this level change, because then you're frozen and you're thinking about dealing with whatever's coming at you, and your legs stay in the same spot. Now, does the striking change that for Biggie Boy, given the fact that he's got the experience? Is he going to realize that this is going to be the game plan for Almeida? Most likely. So then what are his options? Now, the clear and obvious one, of course, is an uppercut, because Almeida does tend to level change straight down into that pocket. And because he does it from a distance, like he's not hand fighting into a level change, he's shooting from a distance, there is potential there to hit that uppercut. And, you know, of course, we've seen Curtis Blaydes get caught with this against Derek Lewis. It's a really, really useful punch. The danger with an uppercut, especially if you commit to it because you think that guy's level changing, is that it does leave you open. So this is where Almeida now needs to be smart about his level change and about his setup for his takedown. Because if he does the same pattern over and over again, Biggie Boy's going to spot it. Whereas if he faints and comes back up to the head, he might crack him with a shot that hurts him and makes it easier to finish the takedown. Now, once he's got the takedown and it's on the floor, I can very much see Rosenstreich just kind of leans up on his elbow, and then his wrist gets tied up and collapsed, and then he gets annoyed, and then you see him shift a bit, and then he puts his other arm up and his wrist gets bound. Like, that process when he hits the floor, I don't know as he can do 25 minutes in that position against Almeida. I feel like Almeida's smart enough to maintain position over submission. He's smart enough to strike if the submission's not there and not obvious, but he's also very, very good at reading his opponent when they're going to move and seeing what's there to control. I think Biggie Boy's going to be dealing with his legs being bound up and his wrists being controlled, and a small but capable heavyweight weighing everything onto him, making him tired very quickly. Now, of course, this all switches entirely over to the opposite side if Rosenstreich can A, stop the takedown, or B, get back to his feet safely. And if he can do that a couple of times, Almeida might start thinking, this heavyweight's hard to hold down. I might just start trying to strike with him. And then you start moving into Biggie Boy's range a bit more. And if I'm Rosenstreich, I'm feinting with hands and I'm smashing legs. Feint hands, smash legs. Because it's going to make my movement easier and it's also going to make his level change more difficult. If you've got a bruised leg, the last thing you want to do is be bending this leg to squat down to shoot. And the other thing you have to remember is once that leg's taken damage, if Almeida does get Biggie Boy up against the fence and he's in on the legs, that lift is driving through bruised muscles. It's something else you have to consider. I'm interested to watch this one because I think Rozenstruik, he's not quite quick enough, athletic enough. I don't know is he game enough to be heavyweight champion. But I do think Almeida has got the potential to cause a lot of problems for a lot of people. Especially because he's quite certain of his game. And a lot of the heavyweights, and like it was a surprise when Ngannou took Cyril Gane down. Cyril Gane wants to strike. John Jones will most likely want to strike with most heavyweights, but of course, you know, dealt with Cyril Gane in the most efficient way. This guy causes a different problem for a lot of heavyweights in this division. And I do feel like, although Rozenstruik is a very, very dangerous striker, he can get kind of caught waiting sometimes. And that's either going to be detrimental to him because he's going to get hit with shots that he's not expecting, or he's just going to get outpointed. And then Almeida's running away with the fight on the scorecards. And if he weighs in at, what, 220, 215, 220, 225, even if he weighs in at 230, he's going to have a 30-pound weight deficit that is not going to be unnecessary weight. I love watching heavyweights, but the days of the Roy Nelsons are coming to an end, right? The reason why we're still seeing some heavyweights of that kind of physique in MMA is because the money's not there right now, right? If there was more money on the table to do MMA than there is to do NFL, NBA, we'd have a lot more big, strong, powerful, lean athletes coming into the sport. And I feel like we would see many more Jelton Almeida kind of physiques over the, you know, the kind of Shamil Abdurakhimov kind of Parker Porter type of physique. It's just not... it's not elite. And I think that as MMA evolves, especially at heavyweight, we'll see those fighters kind of fall by the wayside as the heavyweights with abs, like the likes of Cyril Gane and Jelton Almeida, will start to come through because they'll have the technical abilities, but the physical skills as well. Sorry, the physical abilities as well as the technical skills. Like, heavyweight's going to get more and more competitive, especially if John Jones retires after he fights Miocic. Then you've basically got just a group of big guys that could be sorted anyway. Like, Pavlovich is making waves, of course. Almeida, I think, has got potential to cause some problems as well. Like, this heavyweight division, especially if John Jones steps aside again, he's going to be wide open. And it's going to be someone like a Jelton Almeida that's going to be fighting for the belt. I'm excited for this one. I'm always a fan of Biggie Boy because you can never take your eyes off him. You can never assume that you've won the fight. One punch at the end of the last minute of a 25-minute fight can still do enough damage to completely change the whole fight. No matter how well Jelton Almeida has been doing from the first bell up until the 24th minute, if he gets hit with that same shot that Overeem got caught with, there's no coming back from that. So we can't take our eyes off Rozenstruik. Of course, he's dangerous all the way through. But I do think that he's going to be playing a waiting game here that might backfire on him. And I'm excited for Jelton Almeida. If he stays at heavyweight, I feel like he's going to be the fast athlete in the division, kind of like one of the strengths that Cyril Gane has. Like, imagine if Cyril Gane was a grappler like Jelton Almeida at that kind of size and you know, muscularity. Problems all day. I think this guy's interesting. Of course, this is a step up, but I very much feel like he's ready for it. 20 fights into his career. This is his 21st fight. And I feel like Rozenstruik is that kind of litmus test to see if you're ready to, you know, pass by and head to the top of the division. Really interesting one. I'm looking forward to this one. Make sure you check out our sponsor, AG1, Athletic Greens. It's fantastic stuff. Go to athleticgreens.com/outlawed with the ED on the end. You'll get 5 free travel packs, you'll get a year's free supply of D3 and K2, you'll sleep better, you'll feel better, and you'll thank me later. Enjoy the fights, and I'll see you next time.